You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Nothing is more important to genuine family life than learning how to forgive.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, thanks to you for the gift of your Son to live and die for us. Thanks to you for the forgiveness of our sins and for new life in Jesus Christ. Help us to overcome the loneliness of life by the healing of love in our various families, that your reconciliation may come to the human family through us. Amen. Nothing is more important to genuine family life than learning how to forgive. We are all human and we all need forgiveness. All of us need to learn how to forgive. Without that, there can be no real family life. In the 18th chapter of St. Matthew, we are told, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. In our computer age, somebody will figure out that 490 is the magic number, 70 times seven. Our Lord's men, having no computers, knew exactly what he meant. You can't put any limit on your willingness to forgive. Anything else is not forgiveness. Forgiveness, in our Lord's language, was not condoning or permitting sin. It may very well be that Peter thought, as many people do today, that forgiveness is a sign of weakness because it permits sin to run riot. We've got to clamp down, or the situation will get completely out of control. Our Lord knew the power of forgiveness. The power of his forgiveness surprised people when they saw how it worked. They wondered about him, who had been given authority on earth to forgive sins. The power to keep people from sinning is not really ours. We can help prevent people from destroying themselves, but we can't keep them from sinning. If anyone, young or old, wants to ignore God and go his own way, it's almost impossible to keep him from doing so. You can put restraints on him, and you can hedge him in, but you can't keep him from sinning. The only power on earth to change people who insist on going their own way comes with forgiveness. There's something divine about forgiveness that's more than human. Only one who has been touched by the Spirit of God with a wonderful power of forgiveness really knows how to forgive. And even then, it is difficult. The greatest quality possessed by the Church of Jesus Christ is the power to forgive sins. I'm sorry to say this is the one quality that is most often neglected, least evident in the life of the church, and frequently despised by the very people who claim to know Christ as their Savior. If his followers don't see the point, how can you expect people to understand the confession of the church, I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought together the whole Christian church on earth, and in the communion of saints exerts his power to forgive sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. To forgive, as God forgives, is to forget the hurt, and to forget the malice and the ignorance which have caused that hurt. God knows it's hard to forgive. He knows, because he forgives and forgets, as the psalmist says. He no longer remembers the sins of our youth. He remembers our sins no more. He blots out all our transgressions. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. With God, this is not a business transaction. It is the action of God. More than anything else you can say about him, this is characteristic of God. I know a lot of people don't understand God that way. They see him as a judge, and they're right. Deep down inside, every one of us knows that he's going to be held to account for his sins, his offenses against God, his transgressions of the holy will of God, his contempt for the wishes of God. God knows there are sins that need to be forgiven. And he knows what it takes to forgive sins. He does not condone evil. What he does is to take that evil into his own heart. When God acts, things happen. For this, God sent his Son into the world. That Son died on a brutal cross, not for himself, but for the sins of the world. He took the sins of us all into his own heart. This is true. But it is more than a truth. It is God acting as only he can act in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. How many times does God have to forgive sins? How many times does he have to forgive you? Think about that for a moment. If his forgiveness is not absolutely limitless, what chance have you got? What chance has any of us got? If the Lord should mark iniquities, who will stand? God forgives and forgives and forgives again. That's the God I see in Jesus Christ. He's not far off somewhere. He's one of us in Jesus Christ. We see him in Jesus Christ. We experience his love in Jesus Christ. We come to understand his forgiving heart in Jesus Christ. It's enough to break anyone's heart just to see it, experience it, and understand it. Now that's forgiveness. It's meant for the whole human family. And it's meant to be practiced in turn by everyone in God's family. All of us have to learn that. It does not come naturally to us. We have to learn it. With the Holy Spirit beating upon our hearts. When it comes right down to it, only forgiveness will do in our own human families. Forgiveness is the heartbeat of a family. Peter was worried about a brother. How often do you forgive him, he said, without spoiling him? It could just as well be a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a son, or a daughter. It could be your father or your mother. Your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter. Forgiveness always comes pretty close to home. If it doesn't start at home, it's not worth anything at all. One of the great stories told by our Lord is about a son who left the family circle, went his own way, and blew everything he had on wine, women, and song. When he came to himself, as our Lord told the story, he remembered his father. On the way home, he kept saying to himself what he was going to tell his father. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. That's repentance. Wherever there's genuine repentance, there's real seeking for forgiveness. Maybe the son would have preferred to be a servant. It would have made him feel better to be a slave on a business level, having a contract basis with his father, than to return to the embarrassing responsibility of a son in the family. But the father wouldn't have it that way. It's a lot easier to be a hired man than a son. God, our Father, offers us forgiveness and expects his children to be sons and daughters in the family. As he forgives, he looks to them for forgiveness. He forgives from the heart, he does. His heart beats with forgiveness. And our Lord said that God's children should pray this way: forgive us our sins as we forgive. There's no mistaking the meaning of Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread, he said, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, and he came back to that forgiveness thing, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. That's straightforward language. There's no if or and or but about it. A lot of things go into the making of a family: daily bread, respect for father and mother, reverence for God, faithfulness to keeping one's vows, and upright living that enables people to live together in one little society. Nothing, however, is more important than forgiveness. That's the way to live with God, who loves to forgive us, and that's the way to live with one another, loving to forgive one another. Without forgiveness, there can be no lasting personal relationships. With forgiveness, love grows, and the last days are better than the first. Ask any marriage counselor or pastor about the problems he meets in family life. He'll tell you of problems that could be solved and new beginnings made possible if forgiveness were offered and received. Why don't people forgive? Very often it's because they've never been able to accept forgiveness for themselves. Ask anyone who has suffered from a sense of guilt for past wrongs how that burden obliterates all possibilities for creative living until it is removed. No new start is possible in human life without the recognition somewhere along the line of the need for forgiveness, personal forgiveness. People who don't know forgiveness or are not able to accept forgiveness always seem to lay the blame on someone else. How many marriages have cracked up in our world, and how many people continue to live with each other in cold indifference because forgiveness has never once warmed their homes? Another very human story told by our Lord was about a certain king who was going to settle accounts with one of his servants who owed him more money than anybody could possibly pay, like $10 million. That was an unpayable debt in those days for anyone. The man couldn't pay it, and the Lord commanded that the man and his wife and children and everything he had be sold as partial payment for that debt. The servant said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you." The only thing the Lord could do was to forgive him that debt. That same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him a small pittance, just a bit. He took the man by the throat and demanded that he pay what he owed him. The poor fellow said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." It sounds very familiar, doesn't it? But the servant who had been forgiven just wouldn't listen to this neighbor and friend. When the Lord heard about it, he said to the servant, "Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" That's a good question for every one of us. The Lord added, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness is the heartbeat of a family. We try to do our best, but that's never enough for any one of us. What we are talking about is not a business transaction. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness is the light bulb of love. Love furnishes the power, but forgiveness is the light that's produced by that power. Love, said St. Paul, keeps no account of wrongs. It doesn't maintain a ledger book to balance the assets against the liabilities, the hurt against whatever will make that hurt good. Love forgives. That's God. And that's the way it is in his family. Forgiveness is the heartbeat of God, making human life really human. It takes life and renews it. Forgiveness empowers life when nothing else can. It rebuilds families. And it makes all of life worth living. When people live as closely together as they do in marriage and the family, the need for forgiveness multiplies. How many times do you have to forgive? 7 times, maybe? That's a lot. When you have to forgive the same person 7 times, maybe for the same thing. No, said Jesus Christ, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. It would have meant the same thing if he had said 700 times 7 or 7,000 times 7. Unless you're willing to go that far, it's not really forgiveness. That's the Lord talking. There is no marriage in which both partners have not had to ask as well as to offer forgiveness. There is no happy home with any family unity where children do not have to forgive their parents and parents do not have to forgive their children. This is what life is all about. It's the heart of life. Forgiveness is the heartbeat of life. Without it, there is no life. This is more than piety. This is life. To be forgiven is to be right with God. And to forgive is to be right with your neighbor. It's tough, I know, but it's right. Forgiveness is to the soul what bread is to the body. It's a matter of life and death. Health depends on daily bread. Life depends on forgiveness. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is not a one-way street. It works both ways. You don't demand it of someone, he gives it. You don't accept it without giving it in return. Parents often expect forgiveness from their children when they don't give forgiveness in return. Children often expect forgiveness from their parents when they don't extend the same consideration to their parents. Forgiveness is a two-way street. To confess a wrong is not easy for a father or a mother. To say to a boy or a girl, I was wrong. I paid no attention to you when I should have listened to you. That's a very difficult thing. It takes some real heart to get that going. It's just as hard for children to say, I was wrong. I paid no attention to you when I should have listened to you. That's very difficult. It takes a lot of life to get that going. That life is the life of God. It's the life he gives in Jesus Christ. He gives it to you. Accept it with faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He is God, acting for you, dying for you, and living for you. In him is forgiveness, and that's life. It gets a lot of things going, that life of his. Out of the heart, said Jesus Christ, come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, fornication, blasphemy, ruthless greed, malice, fraud, indecency, envy, slander, and arrogance. All of this comes from inside man. It defiles him inside and out. What Jesus was talking about is the rebellion against God you see all over the world today. That same God, who has every reason to feel hurt by our rebellion against him, sends the good word of his forgiveness in Jesus Christ. God forgives. That's the thing which broke a man's heart back there in the old days and made him say, against thee only, O God, have I sinned. Jesus said, every one of us ought to pray, forgive us our sins, and not forget to go on as we forgive those who sin against us. This is more than saying, I beg your pardon. This is not just a ritual. This comes from the heart. Forgive us our sins. And this comes from the heart, too, as we forgive those who sin against us. The receiving of God's forgiveness is real. Only for those who give forgiveness to others with whom they live and move and work. The only unforgivable sin against God is not to accept his forgiveness. The Spirit of God comes to you today convicting you of sin. Don't ignore him. He can be grieved. Accept the forgiveness of God by that great power of God his Spirit gives you. Accept forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is God's guarantee that he really forgives. For the sake of Jesus Christ, forgive as you have been forgiven. It's the heartbeat of a great family. Pray, my friend, pray. Lord, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Pray, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Amen.